This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The recent World Alzheimer Report for 2010 says that the societal cost of dementia is not only already enormous, but that dementia is also significantly affecting every health and social care system in the world. Additionally, the economic impact on families is insufficiently appreciated. The report predicts that worldwide, the costs of dementia are set to soar. It states there is an urgent need to develop cost-effective packages of medical and social care that meet the needs of people with dementia and their caregivers across the course of the illness. The report also calls for evidence-based prevention strategies. Now, we're joined on the phone by Kathy Kennedy, who is the Director of Programs and Services with the Alzheimer's Society of British Columbia. And we share some comments from Mary Jean Van Jenny of Ladysmith, who spoke with us last year about her experiences with her husband Bill's Alzheimer's disease. Welcome to People First Radio, Kathy.
Thanks, Kevin. I'm pleased to be here.
Now, Kathy, what does this international report, this world or global report, what does it have to say to British Columbians?
Well, it's a landmark report providing really the clearest, most comprehensive global picture, and it really reinforces the Canadian study, Rising Tide, the Impact of Dementia on Canadian Society, which came out in January 2010 and was a report produced by the Alzheimer's Society of Canada. It lets us know very clearly that the prevalence of dementia is going to double. So right now, for example, we have about 71,000 British Columbians living with dementia. That is expected within one generation to double to about 178,000. And that means the demand for dementia care will also increase, and that's expected to increase by over 11 times the current demand. So this will have an impact not only on the healthcare system, but on the families who are supporting the people living with dementia.
And these are rather alarming predictions about need and cost over time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It really is a wake-up call in saying that we need to have a dementia strategy nationwide, but also here in BC, so that families and healthcare systems and communities are ready to deal with this.
Now, the 2010 World Alzheimer Report also states that raising awareness and the promotion of early diagnosis is now a key priority, and that countries such as the UK, France, and Australia are focusing on this as part of their national dementia strategies. However, this is a particular problem for low and middle income countries where resources for specialist care are also very limited. Here's Mary Jean Van Jenny, who lives in Ladysmith with her husband Bill, who has Alzheimer's disease. Mary Jean was in the studio with us in June 2009.
I think we suspected it, definitely. I suspected it a couple of years before the diagnosis. We did a full set of physical tests, including an MRI prior to our move, and then we went to see a doctor here. But it took us over 6 months to get in to a gerontologist to obtain a diagnosis that allowed us to obtain medication for it. There is medication that may slow the progress of it, and people may choose to take it or not. We have chosen for my husband to take this medication, and it does seem to be making a difference for him.
Now, Kathy Kennedy, tell us more about the issues associated with diagnosis of Alzheimer's and dementia in British Columbia.
Okay, well, there's definitely research going on to look at ways of diagnosing earlier, and also looking at the idea that there may be markers that can help us identify people more at risk much earlier in the disease, because Alzheimer's disease is primarily a disease of those who are older, but not exclusively. Some of the signs that people might notice would be forgetfulness. I mean, we all forget things from time to time, but a person with Alzheimer's disease may forget things more often and not remember them later. Or they can find they're having difficulty performing very familiar tasks. There can be problems with language that come up, both in finding the right word, being able to express oneself, but also being able to understand or follow a conversation. There can be disorientation of time and place. Judgment can change, and with these things can go changes in mood and depression. So it's not easy to make a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. It's actually a diagnosis of excluding other things. Some of these symptoms, for example, can mimic depression. So it's really important that a person with these concerns go to their family doctor. And if you go prepared, that can help. You know, go with writing out a list of what is it you're noticing? When does this happen? How often does it happen? Is it a change from before? It's helpful if the person with dementia goes with a family member who can reinforce and share their observations about what they have seen. And then the physician will be able to take a complete medical history, do a mental status exam, a complete physical exam to rule out any other possible causes for the symptoms, laboratory tests, and then sometimes on to scans and MRIs and things like that. So it does take time to go through the process.
I asked Mary Jean Van Jenny if she or Bill had experienced any stigma which might be related to Bill having Alzheimer's. Now, she answered that question, but she turned the response very quickly into the direction of talking about challenges related to communication. Here's Mary Jean.
We haven't experienced outward stigma. For us, we have found being very open about Bill's diagnosis has made people very generous in accepting and allowing help. The one thing we do find is that Bill's communication has slowed down, and he may occasionally trip over words or have difficulty expressing himself. He also cannot take in language at the same speed. So for someone to communicate with him, they must speak more slowly, and they must have the patience to fill in the blanks for him when he cannot speak. But that probably at this point is the biggest problem we've noticed.
Kathy Kennedy, tell us more about these challenges that Mary Jean is talking about.
Well, communication challenges like that are very common, and it can really help. I mean, as you think of the disease, it's a degenerative disease. The brain is impacted, and over time, parts of the brain are dying. So it is impacting on the person's ability to communicate, remember, make decisions. It can really help that if family members and friends learn about the disease, and then they can modify the way they communicate. So it could mean things like, for example, giving the person more time to express themselves, not having a lot of people involved in a conversation at the same time, because tracking multiple voices and a fast conversation can be very difficult. It can be putting forward one idea at a time, or one request at a time, and being prepared to reinforce that. It can mean backing up what you're saying with an action. So, for example, if you're inviting the person to sit down, you might motion to the chair or the table, which reinforces that message. These are all the kinds of strategies that our education programs help people learn and implement in their lives.
You're listening to People First Radio. Dementia is a syndrome that can be caused by a number of progressive disorders that affect memory, thinking, behavior, and the ability to perform everyday activities. Alzheimer's disease is the most common type of dementia. Dementia mainly affects older people, although there is a growing awareness of cases that start before the age of 65. People with dementia, their families and friends are affected on personal, emotional, financial, and social levels, and lack of awareness is a global problem. A recent international report on the impacts of dementia across the world states that a proper understanding of the societal costs of dementia and how these impact upon families, health, and social care services and governments may help to address this problem. We're joined on the phone by Kathy Kennedy, who is the Director of Programs and Services with the Alzheimer's Society of British Columbia. And we're sharing comments from Mary Jean Van Jenny of Ladysmith, who spoke with us last year about her husband Bill's experiences with Alzheimer's disease. Here's Mary Jean Van Jenny on the importance of support.
Bill and I have often discussed, what does a person do who doesn't have a support person? Because while Bill can do many things on his own, there are things he cannot do or cannot do without my assistance. He can take money out of a bank, you know, using a bank card. He can use his Visa, but he couldn't manage the finances. So I have to do all of that. Other things about remembering, I mean, if I don't write the list, instructions, only one instruction at a time, and if he walks away and thinks of something else, he will forget about that. Whereas other times he can appear totally unaffected to outsiders.
Kathy Kennedy, Alzheimer's Disease International, has called on governments worldwide to develop policies and plans for long-term care that have an explicit focus on supporting family caregivers and that ensure social protection of vulnerable people with dementia. Now, on September the 21st, the Alzheimer's Society of British Columbia announced, along with the Government of British Columbia's Ministry of Health Services, an expansion to three key programs to better support dementia patients and their families, thanks to $1 million in funding from the province. Is this a step in the right direction? And if so, why?
Oh, this is just a tremendous step in the right direction. This a recent initiative grew out of a pilot project that the Alzheimer's Society and the Vancouver Island Health Authority piloted in the Greater Victoria area. It involves three programs: First Link, Minds in Motion, and Shaping the Journey Living with Dementia. And all three programs really focus on the idea of early intervention. So for First Link, it's being able to intervene and be there to assist people at the time of diagnosis or as soon as possible after that. First Link's a program where we're able to formalize our relationships with physicians and healthcare professionals so that we receive from them a formal referral that allows us then to make proactive contact with the families. So rather than it being left up to a family to find out what resources might be available or where they can go for help or even to realize that they might need some assistance, we're able to take over that step and give them a call. And it's about meeting people where they are now. What might you need? What's going on for you? Through that kind of conversation, we can connect families with the various services and supports that the Alzheimer's Society offers, but also what the healthcare system or other organizations offer at any point in the journey. And then we keep in touch with them on an ongoing basis. So this really helps ensure that families get access to the information, support, and education that they need early in the journey, when the person with dementia is still able then to talk with family and friends and plan for the future and share what kinds of hopes they have as the disease progresses.
I'd like to share one last clip from our interview with Mary Jean Van Jenny. I asked her about involvement with the programs and services of the British Columbia Alzheimer's Society.
I find that the Alzheimer's Society has been so helpful. Bill participated in an early stage support group in Victoria for a period of time, and I went to two excellent workshops, one in Victoria and one here in Nanaimo, called Coping with Transitions in Dementia Caregiving, Dimensions of Loss and Grief, and those were lifesavers for me. They were so amazing. I thought maybe I was too, you know, we were too early on in this journey, but actually I found that since I took these, it has helped me so much that it's also benefited Bill because I'm much calmer and able to cope in a much more healthy fashion.
Now, Kathy, we have just a moment left. Is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation today?
I think just to encourage people to get in touch with us. We have other programs like the one Mary Jean mentioned, and Coping with Transitions is offered throughout Vancouver Island, as now our First Link, Minds in Motion, Shaping the Journey, our Family Caregiver Series. So I'd encourage people to call our resource center in Nanaimo at 1-800-462-2833 and talk with staff and learn about the programs we have. This is the kind of journey where it really helps. It's a long journey. It helps to have the support of other people, to know that you're not alone, and to connect with others who are living with the same challenges and share strategies that can really make quality of life much improved.
Thanks very much for taking the time to join us today.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, Kevin.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Kathy Kennedy is the Director of Programs and Services with the Alzheimer's Society of British Columbia. Mary Jean Van Jenny lives in Ladysmith with her husband, Bill, who has Alzheimer's disease. She joined us in the studio in June 2009 to speak about her and Bill's experiences with Alzheimer's disease. You can find the Alzheimer's Society of British Columbia online at alzheimerbc.org. You can also find PDF copies of the recent 2010 World Alzheimer Report online at the Alzheimer's Disease International website. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY Radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily of those organizations.